I think the big picture, Paul is reinforcing what it means to walk by faith. And faith is something that we've reduced down to just kind of agreeing with some prepositional statements. And scripturally, it's so much more than that.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Jake, thanks for joining us this morning.
You bet.
We are continuing on in our 2 Corinthians series, and yesterday we were in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. Jake, you had a lot of supporting texts yesterday. We had a lot of different places we went, but ultimately, staying true to that text and walking through all those different components, you did a great job with that. So, yeah, we had some spots where we'll talk about, we talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about the judgment seat of Christ. We went to Hebrews. There are lots of different supporting places, yeah. Which surprise, surprise, the Bible's one connected story. And when you've got Paul, who wrote other letters, he's going to reference things or say things the same way. So,
yeah.
We get some context there. So, yesterday, you know, we were talking about, your question was, what's the key to Christian courage? Mm. And, right on the front end gave us the key to Christian courage is faith. Then you walked through and said, what we know shapes how we feel, what we know shapes what we prefer, and what we know shapes our purpose. And that's really faith being evident in all those areas of life, our emotions, our preferences, and our ambitions. And then the main idea yesterday, Jake, you said faith is the assurance of what's waiting for us, the preference of what's waiting for us, and the pursuit to please who is waiting for us. Jake, if you had more time yesterday to expand on something, what would that be?
Oh, there's so much in that text. We really didn't want to just focus on the trees and miss the forest, but it would be great to go back and look at some really beautiful trees.
Yeah.
Because I think the big picture, Paul is reinforcing what it means to walk by faith. And mm-hmm. faith is something that we've reduced down to just kind of agreeing with some prepositional statements. And scripturally, it's so much more than that. So we really wanted to help us understand what the Bible talks about in faith and what was driving Paul's lifestyle. And, but he does reference the Spirit as a guarantee. I wish we could spend multiple weeks. We need to come back and better understand the Holy Spirit. When he mentions the eternal state versus the temporary state of our bodies and, spend more time understanding our future as Christians. I think we have a misunderstanding of, or a lack of understanding of what heaven will be like. Mm-hmm. It's a physical reality. We will have bodies. We will live on a new heavens and a new earth. It'll be life to the fullest,
yeah.
And not just some kind of spiritual floating around. Spend more time on the eternal state and helping us understand that. And then the judgment seat of Christ, it's kind of, you throw judgment out there for Christians. You're like, wait a second. I thought I'm not being judged because of Christ's work on the cross. So what does this mean? So, we touched on it a bit, but to spend more time on each of those would have been important.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get to, specifically Holy Spirit and also judgment seat of Christ here in we get a twofer question in our second question. But also I gotta know the very front of the message, you said that you would argue that 2 Corinthians 5 is the second best chapter in all of the Bible. And it's been about 24 hours now. I've been dying to know, Jake, what would you say is the most important or the best chapter
in
the Bible.
I think they're all good. My preferences. Romans 8.
Okay.
Romans 8 is packed with so much amazing truth. I love Romans 8. And then 2 Corinthians 5 it's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you get what we looked at last week, but we're going to get into, just being a new creation in Christ, yep. And then right into mission. The impact of the gospel on mission, that we're compelled by the love of Christ to share with other people. We're ambassadors for, yep, Christ. Then you get into the end. We get double imputation. We'll talk about that, of just Christ's righteousness imputed on us and him taking our sinfulness. It's just mm-hmm. awesome,
yeah,
stuff. So
yeah, I was looking ahead at that and I was like, there might be like 6 or 7 therefores in that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like therefore, 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 therefore. It's like, yeah, it's all connected.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
It's good.
Yeah. I mean, but didn't Piper spend like 6 years preaching through Romans 8 or something like that?
Probably.
I think it was outrageous. Yeah, like it's so packed full of like, there's a lot there. Yeah, you could spend a lot of time. That's sweet. All right, Jake. So you mentioned this, wanting to spend some more time on the judgment seat of Christ. And again, it can be tricky or it can be messy, and different people have different perspectives or want to like kind of go to their camps and their corners and kind of build up defenses. But I think it is important that we do spend more time. Like, this is a future reality. Mm-hmm. There are things that we can be assured of and that shape how we live now. So, I think my first question here, my two-parter. So when we're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ, where else in scripture, can we go for more clarity on what the judgment seat of Christ will be like? And really, what's like the purpose and significance of those events serves?
Yeah.
That event. Sorry.
I mean, it's referenced. Judgment is referenced often in scripture. But there's never a place where the writer's like, okay, let me help you understand all the details of the days of judgment. But it's just reference. So it's like, we know it's coming. God is our judge. He talks about the day of judgment. Here in our passage reference the judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. In 1 Corinthians 3, where we looked at, is kind of this analogy of helping us understand judgment of, you know, you have the foundation, but what you build upon it, you're going to be judged for what you build upon it. Mm-hmm. And even you might suffer loss, but you yourself will be saved, but only through fire. So there's references to judgment in 1 Corinthians 3 and then the judgment seat of Christ in our passage in 2 Corinthians 5. You get into Revelation 20 where you have the book and books kind of being brought out. So the book seems to be like the book of life, mm-hmm. where it's like your name is written in the book of life, that you are a new creation in Christ. You are safe under the work of Christ on the cross. And then there's books, and those seem to be like, okay, that's more of maybe what is referencing in,
That passage says, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. So similar kind of language.
Similar context of you're going to be judged for what you've done in this body, whether good or evil, where our actions are judged, where you'll be saved, but suffer loss in that, or you'll be rewarded, because of what you've done. So there is that judgment, and really rewards should be a motivator for us. It's part of an expression of faith of, I believe that I'm working towards something. I'm, as Paul says, to rerun the race, to win the prize. Mm-hmm. And, I think we miss out on that sometimes as Christians, that there are incentives to godly living.
Right. Yeah. I mean, talks about casting the crowns. Like, there is that. Where did that come from? Like, that's a revelation of what was true in your life. Like, I mean, it's not you're building up and storing up the treasure. So like, you've got your heavenly Roth IRA. It's like, no, all of that displays Christ's glory.
Yeah. It all displays Christ's glory. We cast our crowns at his feet. It's all, but I wonder often if there's, like even in that parable in Luke 19, where there's different rewards given out in different proportions. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, you're going to be charged 10 cities. You're going to be charged 5 cities. Mm-hmm. If yes, all of it is for Christ's glory, but is there different positions of authority and, in God's kingdom?
Yeah. I don't know. I think we have a hard time even thinking of what's a pure, like, hierarchical, not that it's like, I'm better than you, but it's like, there's structure and there's order.
And structure and order is a good thing. But pride and arrogance is a bad thing. So if it's like, oh, I'm striving after status for my own pride, it's like, well, you're not getting points for that.
Right.
You know, there's got to be a purity of heart of that. But we do see indicators of, hey, there's rewards on different levels, and we should be passionate about the rewards and concerned about a judgment for our deeds. Mm-hmm. It's not salvific. Our salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. But rewards and loss is taught in scripture.
Yeah. I think too, even, just kind of connecting to, you know, we see in Revelation being clothed, which here Paul references, like, not that we would be found naked, but further clothed. It's like, and you referenced, you know, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Yes, because it's not us in our own standing by which we're found, but we're further clothed with Christ's righteousness. And then I think there's like some sweet connections there too with,
you think of, the parable Jesus told as well. It's Matthew 22.
Which maybe. Parable?
The wedding guest where there's a guest who's
Matthew
not
22. Good job.
There's a guest that's not dressed appropriately and he gets kicked out.
Yeah.
And we need provision. We need clothes, to belong in heaven. That, heavenly dwelling not made by human hands, the righteousness of Christ, for our belonging in heaven.
Yeah. Makes like, it'd be like trying to sneak in with a fake ID. Like, you know, you don't have what's required to be here. You have no standing in this presence.
It's probably how I feel at most weddings I attend. Like, I think I'm underdressed for this occasion. Maybe I should have dressed up.
Oh no, that's too funny. Okay, second question here, Jake. So we took a quick pit stop addressing scriptures that provide clarity on the Holy Spirit, which I think you jammed a lot in there. Thankfully, in the connection group questions, we had a good recap, and we'll have the message online today with if you wanted to go back and spend – if you missed any of those or need a reference. But great job addressing those without totally confusing everyone. I think there is, unintentionally, it's easy to be like, well, the Holy Spirit, it does this. No, he is personal. Yeah. He is a third person of the, like some of that foundational doctrinal truth was important to flesh out. So if somebody wanted some more places, to learn about the Holy Spirit, I mean, scripture, you gave us a lot, other, maybe books or resources, like what has been helpful to wrap your mind around your view of the Holy Spirit?
The Bible.
Yeah.
Like read the
yes.
Acts, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, to see the work of the Holy Spirit. I think there's often, there can be two ditches where people get an obsession with the Holy Spirit, which even kind of undermines the work of the Spirit, because the work of the Spirit is to make much of Christ and point people there. Or there can be a complete neglect of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And those are two ditches, neither of which we want to fall into. A lot of the work of the Spirit is controversial because people always want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And what they mean by that is the sign gifts of the Spirit. So prophecy, tongues, those kind of things, like do they function today? How should they function? Those are things we should study and look into. But even when Paul addresses those gifts, particularly in 1 Corinthians, he's saying, hey, you're getting crazy. Mm-hmm. You're getting out of order. You're stepping on each other's toes. So even when we're trying to, piece scripture together to make sense of that, we're taking, scripture out of an argument where Paul's rebuking and correcting the misuse of it. We often look to those gifts because they're the most sensational, mm-hmm. and we miss like the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not an excuse not to study those as well. When it comes to those, there's a book by D.A. Carson called Showing the Spirit, where he just really walks through the text in 1 Corinthians that I think is really fair and helpful and faithful to the scriptures.
Nice. You turned me on to Delighting in the Trinity. That was one of the, I think, first books to kind of just see the role that God plays mm-hmm. in expressing and showing like God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, and how just and sometimes unintentionally we can, like you said, subvert one or kind of make this like lesser view or like overemphasize.
Yeah.
And really it's just like, okay, what's scripture say? How does this play out? Mm-hmm. I think that book was helpful for me too.
A good systematic theology book is going to have a chapter on the Holy Spirit that gives you those foundational basics that are helpful.
What would you say is a good systematic theology book? Are you a Grudem fan?
Yeah, I like Grudem. Grudem's systematic theology is kind of a staple. He's really good. Erickson.
Yep.
I really appreciate his systematic theology book as well.
Yep. Nice. Okay. Jake, so what would your encouragement be for somebody who maybe yesterday is sitting in the seat and, felt conviction about their faith not being evident or maybe even just severely lacking in one or more of areas of their life. You know, you brought up emotions, preferences, and ambitions.
Yeah. Well, first, praise God for conviction.
Yeah.
I think of in Nehemiah when people are convicted, they weren't following the law and they're mourning and the leader's like, hey, this is actually a good day that you feel bad about this. Right. So rejoice that you feel bad.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like a paradox there, but it would be worse if you didn't feel bad about some of those things.
Indifference.
Yeah, you didn't care. So the fact that you're feeling conviction, praise God for that. Lean into it. And I would say to strengthen faith, your faith or what you claim to know, influence on your emotions and your preferences and your ambitions is feed on what you believe. Mm-hmm. So continue to come back to what you know to be true of God, his promises. When it gets neglected in our minds and our hearts, it becomes less influential in our lives. Mm-hmm. So go back and feed on the word of God, feed on the promises of God. So they're not in the back of your mind, but in the front of your mind. And when they're in the front of your mind, they're more likely to impact your emotions mm-hmm. and your preferences and your ambitions.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet. I love that. Well, this Sunday was great. I'm excited for the second half of the second best chapter
We got one, or do we have two, three, four more,
four more,
three or four
Second Corinthians
more,
five.
I think so.
All right. Buckle up, church. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
That's exciting. Jake, thanks again for yesterday. Church, let's be a people who live out our faith, assured of what's waiting for us, preferring what's waiting for us, and seeking to please the God who is waiting for us.
Amen.
Amen.